Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Talking Spite Episode 5 Opening Ceremony. Please welcome the Talking Spite microphone.
The microphone is carried by
the Marquis of Hunts Cross,
Peter Collins.
We salute his charity dodging ability. High Priest of Stoke,
Ian Dewar.
Where there is blame, there's a claim. And Lord of the Mersey,
Graham Flynn,
who brings discord in place of harmony. Ladies and gentlemen, Episode 5. Yes, welcome to the 5th episode of Talking Spite. Obviously, we're going to be talking about the Olympics today, but also on today's show, Peter's sex tips, Philomena's psychic phone-in, and in an exclusive, we have live action from the world's greatest sporting event happening right now on British soil. Yes, it's the World Mumbling Championships, and we can cut to it right now.
Yes, welcome to the final of the World Mumbling Championships, the highlight, of course, of the mumbling year. And this Mumble in the Jungle is coming to you live from Hempstead Forest in the county of Kent, the Garden of England, and of course, the spiritual home of mumbling. The overly reserved, introverted, upper middle class gent is, of course, perfectly suited to the sport. This year's finalists, Quentin Stuffy Pillows and Manolo Basketfold, are competing for the title most famously held for 13 consecutive years by Lester Piggott until a very much a surprise defeat, I would say, by His Royal Highness Prince Charles in 1986. The winner of this Mumble Rumble will walk away with a cheque for £49, a weekend in the Mumbles, and most importantly, the title of World Mumbling Champion 2012. Both Stuffy Pillows and Basketfold have been mumbling away for 5 days and 16 hours now, and we can join the bout live. Stuffy Pillows mumbling with an orthodox mumble, Basketfold mumbling southpaw. That is world-class mumbling there, about as good as mumbling gets, and it's an absolute joy to fail to comprehend. Back to the studio.
More action from the World Mumbling Championships to come. So, Ian, what have you been up to this one?
I moved out about a year ago, and obviously it's taken me a while to get around to doing certain things. One of the things I had to do was go and visit my new GP this week, so that was an interesting experience. Mm. And it just kind of brings home to you, really, how much the internet is causing people to be lazy and not even bother doing the job they were supposed to do. So, you know, kids in school can just nick stuff off the internet for dissertations and exams. Doctors now appear to be using Google and Yahoo to diagnose all sorts of medical conditions.
I can do that.
It at home, self-diagnose.
NHS Direct.
And then when you get, you know, you get cancer instead of piles, sue Google for getting your symptoms wrong. Mm. Who not thought about this?
No, you're right there.
So I went, and you know, I try and maintain a healthy anus as much as I possibly can.
All sensible men do.
Of course they do. I'm, you know, not always successful. You know, the odd mishap. But so there was some bleeding from that area, shall we say? Mm. Bearing in mind, this is the last appointment on a Friday afternoon. She doesn't want me there. She doesn't want the last thing in her mind before she leaves the office is not my bleeding anus. She doesn't want to see that.
That's the image you've left with her for the weekend.
When she's going home.
You're quiet this weekend, love. What's that?
Yeah, precisely. You didn't see what I had to contend with on Friday afternoon. So anyway, I went in and, you know, what are your symptoms? Well, I've got a bit of bleeding from that area. Mm. Straight onto Google. types in, just quick search, bleeding anus, hits return, a million odd hits, one of which could be bowel cancer, the next one could be piles. So, you know, it's anybody's guess. It's either fatal or it's not. You know, what are you going to do? So she dragged me over to the table, asked me, do you want me to have a look? You know, obviously wanted me to say no because it's Friday afternoon. Yeah. I've got better things
you
to
put
do.
It
so,
through it, did
no,
you?
I put it through it. Yeah, go on with it. Do your job. Stop looking at Google. Have a proper route around if you need to. So I'm pants down on a table and I've got my face to the wall and as she's gone to just part the cheeks to have a route about, it's just occurred to me I've eaten maybe my body weight in beetroot over the last week or so. So it's not surprising that I'm, you know, red down there when I've had a look in the pan.
You'd forgotten about
the forgotten the beetroot, yeah.
Well,
in the panic. Well, it's good for you. Superfood, apparently.
Well, not that good for you. I've not eaten any beetroot. I didn't end up with a doctor's hand up my arse. So he's the sensible one now.
Well, exactly. So it's just as she started to have a root and have a peel, you know, peel apart the cheeks, I thought, oh, beetroot. Then she's had a look and she's gone, oh, yeah, well, it's reasonably healthy. And you know, I obviously thought, yeah, you're right. So I didn't waste any more time. But, you know, Google, I mean, looking at symptoms on Google, she could, you know, it could be bowel cancer. It could be piles. Rub this on your arse for 3 weeks. If it doesn't work, come back to me and we'll book you in for colostomy because your stomach's going to be knackered. That's the way it goes.
I've given up on my arse. I get worried these days if I find shit in my blood. Talking about technology and stuff, what you're saying about Google, I was talking to a girl at a bar the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And I got a text message, right? And I pulled my phone out. And as you both know, I've got quite an old mobile phone. It's like 5 years old or something.
Yeah, got an aerial.
Yeah, exactly. She looked at me, she saw it, right, and she looked at me like I just punched a baby in the face.
What was her problem?
I hadn't just punched a baby in the face. No. I've not punched a baby in the face for months. So she spent the next 30 minutes trying to persuade me why I should buy a smartphone. And after all that, the best reason she could come up with was Angry Birds.
I've got a smartphone, but I must be one of the few people in the United Kingdom who does not have a copy of Angry Birds.
Yeah. So anyway, in the past week, I thought I'm gonna develop my own version of Angry Birds that you can play without a smartphone. So that's what I've done.
And it's called
Angry Birds.
Angry Birds for Luddites.
Angry Birds for Luddites version.
The Luddites version.
What I do, I basically stand in the middle of the back garden and I eat an entire loaf of processed white bread without sharing any. Not a crumb.
Yeah.
Angry. They were livid.
I've actually developed a spin-off of Angry Birds myself.
Different versions of mine?
Yeah, much different. Mine involves going out in town and insulting groups of women. Yeah, I'll try and see how angry I can get them. Been glassed twice. I've got a high score for that. Yeah. And 12 stitches in a scalp wound.
Wow. Well,
just don't ask fat women about sweating.
Anything interested you this month, Graham?
Yeah, I saw a bit of a bizarre story. A mate of mine sent it through to me. It looks fairly legitimate. A 16-year-old boy in Brazil died after masturbating 47 times in one night.
47 times?
47 times.
My record's 32.
Mine's two. What basically is bugging me about this is he lived with his mum, so how did they know it was 47 times? Was there 47 separate Kleenex crumpled up next to him?
Has he got a chart on the wall ticking them off?
Did his mum stand in the doorway go, he's got a problem, I really need to take him to the doctor.
Come on, son, just one more.
Come on. Apparently, he'd been to the doctors or something, and they were quoted as saying he was attracted to any woman.
Right.
Like Mother Teresa would have given him.
Really?
A lob on.
Wow.
Even your favourite, Gabby Yoroth.
Gabby Yoroth. Gary Yoroth.
Any end of the spectrum. Sinead O'Connor. Anyone you can think of. Even Vanessa Feltz.
So he must have been up all night watching telly and just, oh, here's another one. His felt's now.
Yeah.
Oh.
His felt's eating a cream cake.
Oh.
Couldn't get it out quick enough.
What must that have looked like after 47 times? Just a pink haze, what it used to be.
Just raw. As if it had been chewed by a dog.
Cock dust. Anything planned for the month ahead, Graham?
Yeah, I'm off on holiday.
Mm-hmm. Where are you going?
I am going on a boat on the Norfolk Broads with Thompson Twins, Swing Out Sister and Matt Bianco.
Oh, same as last year?
Yeah, we had a great time, yeah.
Excellent. Saw the Facebook pics, lovely.
Oh yeah, great times.
Oh, there's been a development in the World Mumbling Championships. Let's cut back to the action.
It's all over. Basketball's taking it with what can only be described as a magical stream of low-pitched, incomprehensible, awkward, barely audible, upper-middle-class mumbling. Absolutely inspired stuff. Let's just see if we can grab a quick word with a new champion. Manolo Basketfold, new Mumbling World Champion, you must be elated. Not a word. A pro to the end. And word coming in that your winning mumble is in fact the mumble of the championship, so you'll also be taking home an additional check of £8.50 for the most incomprehensible mumble. That's surely the icing on the cake for you. Well, it's been a fantastic week of mumbling out here in the Hempstead Forest. Congratulations again to Manolo Basketfold. It really was fantastic. And let's enjoy that final moment again. Here's the winning mumble in slow motion. Great stuff. Back to the studio.
Okay, it's that time where we're going to have a look through the Talking Spite inbox. And I know you've all been on tenterhooks wondering why we're still doing these podcasts when we're set to inherit millions. Mm-hmm. We've had some bad news. Like his family before him, the good Dr. Mugabe has perished in an air crash.
Oh my God, that's terrible news.
I know, so that's why we haven't heard from him.
That explains everything.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I feel guilty now for the things I've said about him.
I do. I mean, I've called him some horrendous names, yeah. So I'd just like to apologise. I was going to say I'd apologise to his family, but I know they've all passed away in an air crash several months before. Just bad luck all around.
It sounds like this clearly puts it all in perspective, doesn't it? Yeah.
So, obviously, the money we sent over...
We'll write that off. That's gone.
And obviously, gutted to miss out on millions of dollars, but yeah. We care too much, so...
No, yeah, with the podcast that care, I won't be following that up anymore. Wow, that's put us on a bit of a low.
Yeah, so I imagine that's probably it for the inbox.
No, actually.
What?
More than one email in a month. We've had what I would technically call fan mail.
Oh, my word.
I'm going to read it out, every word of it. It's from Tara1980 in Ireland, and it says, I love your show so much, hilarious.com/XXXX. I'm impressed by that. Two reasons. Fan mail. Second, internet in Ireland.
They've come on leaps and bounds in the past few years.
Haven't they? Fair play to them. So thanks for that, Tara1980.
Okay, well, great email. Not sure why she's referenced the Vin Diesel film at the end, but thank you anyway.
I hope she wasn't talking about that instead. Maybe there's confusion.
No, we'll take the credit for that one.
That's it for the inbox this month. If you want to drop us a note, it's talkingspite@gmail.com.
Psychic time.
Oh, yes, it's psychic time. We've got Philomena here with us. Hello, Philomena.
Hello.
Right, let's just crack on. Online one, we've got Barbara from Knutsford. Hello, Barbara. Philomena is all yours. Fire away.
Hello, Philomena. Well, I'm phoning in because I'd love to speak to my dad.
I'm sorry, Barbara. You've got the wrong number. This is a psychic phone in.
Yes, I know.
Well... We don't record it in your dad's front room. Try his home number.
I recently lost my dad.
Oh, I understand. Have you tried his mobile?
His mobile?
Well, wouldn't that be easier than ringing us? This is a phone-in, not a lost and found.
Do you not understand? We've lost him. He's gone.
Barbara... Don't cry, dear. Philomena can help. Where did you last see him?
In the hospital.
They're busy places. It's understandable.
Just before he passed away.
He's dead?
Yes, he's dead.
Well, thank God for that. You had me worried there that he was missing.
I never got the chance to say goodbye to him, to tell him how much I loved him.
What were you doing? Getting a coffee. They've got everything now in those hospitals.
He'd had a stroke. I'd just like to know he's okay.
Okay, Barbara, love. Let me see if I can contact him through the spirit world. No.
Magic stuff. Join us after the break. I'm Barry Mulf from Barry Mulf's Mulf Emporium, and we're having a sale. Up to 50% off selected ranges of Mulf. 2 for 1 on all packs of Mulf. Buy 2 kegs of Mulf, get a 3rd keg of Mulf free. Tins of Mulf, all half price. Family sized tins of Mulf, they're half price too. Pots of Mulf, they're the same price as they usually are. Why shop anywhere else for Mulf? Let Barry Mulf's Mulf Emporium take care of all your Mulf needs. Get down to the Emporium today. Unit 1A Mulf Retail Park, Mulf Lane, Mulf.
Suspect you may be pregnant? Want to check as quickly and accurately as you can at home? Then try the new Up2Duff home pregnancy test. Up2Duff is so efficient it can confirm your pregnancy as early as 21 days prior to conception. In clinical trials, Up2Duff has been proven to be up to 50% more accurate than a random guess. For easily confused ladies unable to interpret a big blue dot on a stick and clearly in denial, try Up2Duff Plus. Up2Duff Plus will confirm your pregnancy by illuminating a large pink neon sign saying you are pregnant. And it will also send you a text message and book you a course of antenatal classes. Up2Duff and Up2Duff Plus, the future of home pregnancy testing.
I'm Barry Mulf from Barry Mulf's Mulf Emporium. Due to overproduction and a chronic lack of demand, we're having a Mulf clearance. All Mulf must go. 2 for 1 on all blocks of Mulf. 5 litres of Mulf for the price of 3. Sheets of Mulf. We don't do Mulf in sheet form. Why would you want Mulf in sheet form? Get down to the Mulf Emporium now. Unit 1A Mulf Retail Park, Mulf Lane, Mulf.
And it's over to Mr. Peter Collins for some of his sex tips, just trying to make people's lives generally better.
I'm just trying to make people's lives better.
That's all it's after. What are you trying to do?
Yeah, sex tips this month. As you both know, I got married in the last couple of weeks.
So congratulations.
We've been looking at ways to revive our flagging sex life. So I've got 2 tips for everyone this month. You can try these at home, right?
Go on. Yeah.
First one. Now, it's not going to be for everyone, right? You're going to need quite an adventurous woman, someone a bit up for it.
I'm all ears.
Okay, yeah. Right. I'm just going to say it, right, and
see what you think. Put about it out there.
Try vaginal sex.
Whoa, hang on.
Do what?
Vaginal sex.
Vaginal. So when you say that, do you mean sex in the vagina?
Sex in the vagina. I know, it's not for everyone.
I mean, yeah.
Pretty out there, mate.
As I say, it's not for everyone. It's not for everyone, but it's possible. It's possible. I've done it. I've done it a few times now. Right? Sufficient lubrication and foreplay. You can do it.
I'll give that a whirl.
Give it a go, honestly. As I say, you're going to need an adventurous woman, so a bit up for it. But just breach the subject gently, see if she's up for it.
Might have to pay for it.
Try it once. Yeah, try it once.
Yeah.
I'll certainly give it a go, but I'm not promising anything.
No, it's not for everyone. Second tip, you know the book that all the women are reading at the moment?
Yeah. Certainly do.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's a bit tame for us. It's a bit tame.
Yeah, okay.
We tried reading it, didn't do anything, so...
You and your partner?
Yeah, we found a book now. We take this to bed instead.
What's the book?
It's a 50 Shades of Clay. It's a geological reference book.
It's brilliant.
Charting the hues of the various clays of the northwest of England. Date from start to finish. Pure clay date.
I'll check it out.
They're my sex tips, everyone. You have a bash. As I say, approach the vaginal sex topic gently, but give it a go.
Proceed with caution.
Dietary tips next month. Just trying to make everyone's life better.
Look forward to that.
It's celebrity news time now. We've got a bit sick of doing this ourselves, so we've hired one of those camp celebrity reporters to do it for us. Here's Herbert Sherbert.
How do? I'm Herbert Sherbert, and your celebrity headlines this month are Andy Peters' train station revelation and Madeley's mocker shocker. Contrary to popular belief, star of 1990s Saturday Kids TV shows, Andy Peters is alive and relatively well. My celeb spars report he's been seen several times this week in yellow jeans and a pink jumper, tapping on Emma Forbes' kitchen window. Peters, 64, has also been spotted shouting through Philip Schofield's letterbox, asking for money, food and work, before eventually he was pepper sprayed.
keen to carry on working, he spends most days conducting imaginary interviews with Go West, Swing Up Sister and Five Star on platform 11 of Euston Station before being moved on by security. And more bad news for Juno Finnegan this week, as husband Richard Madeley has once again been caught out. Onlookers in Kensington High Street, London, were shocked to see Madeley, 22, necking a Costa Rican in full view of the customers of a coffee shop. One witness said it were unbelievable. He just brazenly walked out, took a few gentle sips, letting the taste dance on his tongue. Then he must have been aware people could see, so he got on his car, necking it before driving off at high speed. I think he's 47. This follows hot on the heels of Madeley, 75, being seen in a Starbucks in Chelsea enjoying the warm embrace of a dark, sultry Colombian. Finnegan, 102, was unavailable for comment, however. A woman who once posted a leaflet through the couple's door exclusively told us that Finnegan, 6'2", would be devastated by Madeley's brazen behaviour. Right, that's your lot for celebrity news. I've got pigs to slaughter. Why are they always gay?
I don't know.
Very effeminate. I don't know why that is. Why would that be a prerequisite for the job?
I don't know, Ian. They're just always gay. I don't know. Anyway, here's the Gypsy Kings with the weather.
Mamolea, yo fresha.
Slim chance of rain, according to the Gypsy Kings. That's a shame, isn't it? Anyway, here's Ian with your traffic and travel news.
Traffic and travel news now, and first up tonight, the M2 motorway runs from Rochester to Faversham. Traffic lights are signalling devices positioned at road intersections, pedestrian crossings and other locations to control competing flows of traffic. Cars and motorcycles must pass an MOT test 3 years from the date of the first registration and every year after that. And finally, a convertible car is a car with a flexible textile folding or rigid retracting roof. And that's your traffic and travel.
So we touched on it before, the Olympics. What did you both think of the Olympics?
I thought it was brilliant. So I was down in London for most of it, and all the scaremongering about bad tubes, chaos, generally.
We've heard about your bad tubes.
I've already talked about them, touched on them. So I thought it was good. Nearly over now, coming to an end, but yeah, good 2 weeks.
I thought it was fantastic. I'm not normally that patriotic, but fair dues, they've done a really good job. And I've got to say, though, she gets a lot of stick, but Susan Boyle, that opening ceremony was fantastic.
Yeah, fair play to her. I mean, she was the last person I thought they'd have asked to do it, but she came up with the goods, didn't she?
She certainly did. Yeah. So, well done, Susan.
I liked the big bell they had at the end. That was my favourite part. What was he called? David Beckham.
Yep. Surely he should be knighted.
The slightest sporting achievement whatsoever, and they're constantly calling for a knighthood. Surely it's Sir Bradley Wiggins, surely it's Sir Mo Farah now.
It's
just a sport.
It's a sport. He's just ran around the track. He's been blessed with a natural ability, not nurses or, you know, soldiers, all that kind of stuff.
I found the Olympics just incredibly addictive. I wasn't that fussed about it beforehand, but as soon as it started, I couldn't prise myself away from it. BBC were showing 21 sports live simultaneously on their website. I'm normally quite active, and that's what they're trying to encourage. I didn't leave my chair for 2 weeks. I embraced the spirit of the Olympics. I'd sat in the settee for 2 weeks, eating McDonald's and drinking Coca-Cola, which is what they wanted, isn't it?
Official sponsors. Absolutely right.
It's strange as well, because people may not know this, we're quite big football fans, but I think the sport I've watched the least is football.
Yeah.
But if in October the World Badminton Championships are on, I can guarantee I will not watch a single second of it. Or water polo.
Yeah.
Beach volleyball, women's. Yeah, I probably will carry on watching that.
Watching all these strange things, tactically, they're not as astute as they would be. You know, like we've mastered football tactics and stuff. Like, especially the games where like handball, water polo, hockey, where the goalie hasn't got a chance.
Handball, I don't get it. Just chucking a ball as hard as you can at a goalie. Yeah. Why would you ever sign up for that job?
They've not thought it through. What you need in those goals, where you haven't got a chance of saving it, get a fatty in goal. Hockey, water polo, handball, get a fatty and go. And when I say a fatty, I don't just mean a fatty. I mean, you know, one of those ones that comes in on a crane.
A proper fatty.
Proper bedridden fatty. Yeah. Get them in.
You'd think the Americans have had that sewn up.
You would.
Hundreds of them out there.
And surely, having them like just stood blocking up a goal, having things thrown at them at high speed, is not going to lower their self-esteem any further.
No,
it's already at rock bottom.
No, it's a robot. You can't, you know, you're fat, you're useless, but you go in nets, you might win a gold medal.
As good as it was, certain things annoyed me about it.
Yeah, well,
which is my job, to get annoyed by things. So I'm basically going about that for a bit. The torch beforehand, people going mad for the torch. When they line in the streets to see people carrying a torch, I didn't get that at all. Just looking at a torch. Who look? A torch. If you're so excited by looking at a torch, why don't you go to Halfords to get hundreds of them?
Lewis Hamilton, carrying a torch, spends most of his time as a tax exile.
Correct.
Didier Drogba and Will.i.am. What have they got to do with British culture? Very, very little.
Will.i.am, yeah, that famous British entertainer.
Yeah.
Let's get him to carry it with his wacky clothes.
Tom Daley was all over the Olympics, wasn't he? The poster boy for Team GB.
Well, he's like the male face. Ennis is the female face. He's like the male face for Team GB.
I tell you what, he annoyed me. When I was in Waterstones, right? I walked in and facing me, Tom Daley's autobiography. He's got an autobiography. Tom Daley, my story. He's 18. He's barely got pubes. What of interest can there be in that book? It's 288 pages long, right? What he does for a living is he jumps in water. That's what he does. He's out of water, and then he's in water.
That's like almost a page of every day of his life.
Yep.
From 18 onwards.
I've got an extract from it, brought it with me. Go on. Have a quick read of it?
Yeah.
Monday. Woke up. Jumped in water. Tuesday. Woke up. Had spray tan. Jumped in water.
Yeah.
Wednesday, woke up. Walked around Campley. Jumped in water. Thursday, woke up. Had teeth whitened and eyebrows plucked. Jumped in water. Friday, you read it?
Guessing what's going to come next.
Friday, woke up, jumped in water.
There you go. Do you have a day off?
No, that's the regime they have to put themselves through.
That's his working week, is it?
Yeah.
Christ almighty.
288 pages long, but admittedly most of it is just photos of him with his top off.
With his six pack out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never ever dressed at any stage.
His revolting wanker's tash making its way up to his belly button. Terrible.
Your other observations, Victoria Pendleton? Would it kill you to put a bit of makeup on?
Well, so.
Such a disparity between his sobbing on the cycle track and what you see in a magazine. That was disappointing.
Huge, yeah.
Di Green was a bit of a letdown. He was a total flop, I thought. In that, all you've got to do is get around the track quickly and constantly get his leg over. You think after 2 weeks in the Olympic Village, you'd have mastered that, wouldn't you?
You'd have had it nailed.
Boris Johnson annoyed me in the build-up to it. He annoys me constantly. I almost wanted it to be a disaster, so we wiped the smile off his fat, gormless, pasty white face. In the end, they had to settle for him being stuck on the zip wire. Remember that?
Yep, that was a perfect opportunity to introduce a new Olympic sport, Boris Piñata.
Yeah.
Just give every nation a big plank of wood and smack him with it.
Gold for everyone.
Yeah. Everyone's a winner except Boris.
Yeah, I mean, so being down in London, he just pops up when you're stood at train stations waiting for your train that's broken down. This is the mayor, folks. Embrace the games. Don't worry about me, though. I'll be in the VIP lanes whizzing my way to the venues. You all fuckers, you can sit on the tube and suffer. Annoying, you know, you don't want to hear him in the morning at 7:30 telling you how bad it's going to be. Just, you know Boris, we're aware of how bad it's going to be. That's why everybody fucked off.
And the idea that there'd be some kind of legacy, him and Seb Cohen about this constantly, that annoyed me. Because it's not the case, is it? Like, when Wimbledon's on, people want to play tennis, they're inspired to play tennis for about a week. The majority of the people in the UK watched the Olympics on TV like we did. You couldn't avoid it, could you? It was on constantly. You couldn't get a ticket, as the empty seats are being kept for the corporate. So these people watching it on TV are no more likely to be inspired to spend a week jumping over a stick or throwing a metal ball for a week by the fact it's in London than they were when they watched it in Sydney or Beijing.
Yeah,
exactly. All people seem to do is think about, what could I get good at in 4 years' time so I can go and have a free holiday in Rio?
To be honest, I thought that when I heard about the Athletes' Village and the constant chagging in it, I thought,
it's right.
What can I master absolutely in 4 years' time?
Yeah.
My best thought is I'm not going to have to do something, but maybe I can just coach someone at something or sponsor them.
Well, physically, I think you might, you know, you're not going to become a runner. You're not going to suddenly learn to throw the hammer in 4 years' time and be good at it. But I think there's definitely scope for archery, that kind of stuff, you know. Not hard. You can do it in your back garden. You don't need to be coached. Just buy a little bow and arrow from somewhere.
Yeah.
Crack on.
That's is as simple as that.
I think learn the basics. Have a word with Sport Britain, whoever it is, gets set up after the legacy. You know, they must be out there for people. Somewhere where you have to shoot at stuff, particularly coming from, you know, one of the inner cities.
Yeah, that's no problem for me. That's almost like learning English.
Yeah, or dodging arrows, maybe. If that ever becomes a sport.
But Worst of all, the most annoying thing about the Olympics, far more annoying than anything I've already mentioned and far more important, was for 2 weeks I had to listen to presenters pronounce the word athlete wrong. Athlete. Athlete this and athlete that. Humphreys. Humphreys was the worst. Lineker, all of them. The table tennis guy. Constantly drove me at the wall.
Well, so it's like, you know, words that were once inanimate things and now become a verb. Like, he's going to medal. Or he's going to podium. What do you mean? He's going to either come first, second or third and win a gold medal on the podium. He's not going to podium.
He's just lazy.
It's mental.
It annoyed me so much that by the end of it, I was barely watching it for 18 hours a day. And that's the end of the show. Thanks to the usual people, and thanks for downloading it and subscribing. See you next month. Some people wrote something. People said things. There was music. It was recorded. Something about Facebook, YouTube and iTunes. And an email address. And that's that done. I'm